Living Seed Media brings to you God's Word, which is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives. May the Lord impact your heart as you encounter His Word. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703-036-3659, 0703-768-1198. Email address lsmedia@livingseed.org or visit our website at www.livingseed.org. Let us sit back and listen as the servant of God brings forth the word of life.
Father, this morning we ask you, be deliberate with us. Give to us a clear understanding of the secret of abiding, of abounding, and of abundant fruitfulness. Father, we pray that our lives will not wash away.
Amen.
That God, as you have lent us life, this life must produce results in the name of Jesus. Many men have passed through life. They lived, they died, they were buried, and they were forgotten. Many came through life and even only regretted that they gave them opportunities. They did not know what to do with their lives. Father, this morning we are praying, reveal to us what we must do in order to fulfill the destiny for which we were lent your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord in heaven, we are praying that this morning, let your word come to us very clearly. Let it come to us with simplicity. Let it come to us with grace. Let your word mix with faith in our hearts. We trust, O God, that you will move us forward as we continue to listen and sit at your feet. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'd like to begin this morning to look at the entire issue, the secret of fruitfulness, the process that brings about a fruitful life, before we will begin to deal with all kinds of fruit that we might be talking about as the Lord will grant us opportunity. But we want to first deal with the secret or the principle of fruitfulness. Why that would be our focus, let me remind you a few things before we get onto that. I want to remind you that God's order for every man that he created, God gave him an order. And the order is, be fruitful and multiply. When Adam was created with his wife, and the Bible said God made them male and female, and he said to them, be fruitful and what? Multiply. It's an order. It is God's expectation that every man, every woman that God has lent life, must never be stagnant They must be fruitful. They must multiply. When the world of Noah was destroyed, and it remained only Noah and his family, God came back again. And in Genesis, again you see God coming and saying, be fruitful and what? Multiply. And whereas somebody might imagine that being fruitful and multiply in the context of Adam and in the context of Noah was only in terms of physical fruitfulness or physical procreation. But I want to say to you that God's intention for all aspects of life and all aspects of living, all aspects of human endeavor, the order stands. Be fruitful and do what? Multiply. When Jesus Christ also came and he began to call disciples, he repeated that same word which we began to study yesterday night. And I would like you to look again at John 15. I'm just laying a general preamble for now. So I want you to look at John 15. You will see that the order, what satisfies God about any man, is that he has to be fruitful and he has to multiply. And so even when we have come to give our life to Jesus Christ, that order has not changed. That order is still God's expectation. Be fruitful and multiply. In John 15, without us studying it this morning, we are not studying it. We will only go through it and pass through. We will come back at another point to study that chapter, because it's a very important chapter. Are you in chapter 15, verse 1? All right. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that he may bring forth more fruit. I want you to see that verse very quickly before I go away from there. We are not studying it now. We are just laying a foundation. He said, my Father is the husbandman. My Father is the gardener. Imagine that God accepted to be the gardener, the husbandman. And what is the purpose of the husbandman? It is to get what? Fruit from whatever he has planted. So he said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, what does he do? What does he do? He takes it away. Because fruitlessness is an offense. It's an offense to the gardener. The other day in my compound, unknown to me, my wife ordered one of our brothers to uproot a tree. I think we planted a date palm tree in our compound. And for several years, the thing was just growing and producing thorns. And never gave us date palm that we were looking for. So this morning, I just was walking around the compound when I saw this brother digging. I said, "What are you doing to that palm?" He said, "I have been ordered to uproot it." I said, "For what?" He said, "We have planted it for this number of years." Mommy said, "Why does it cumber the ground?" And I saw how the brother was diligently uprooting it. And I was saying, "But what does it cost? Let it be there now." The reason is that why should it be there? If it is not producing fruit, why should it stand there? Uproot it. And before I could plead, it has been uprooted. The whole thing has withered right now as I'm talking to you. We had another mango tree in the center of the compound. It was supposed to produce a very big mango. And for 4 years that it had been planted, it was supposed to start fruiting. It would just bring flowers. And somehow the flowers would drop off. And there would be no fruit. One day my wife again stood up and said, "Why should this mango be here? We are going to cut it down." I think the mango has ears to hear. As they were discussing around the mango that day, that we are cutting it down. And I was saying, "Please now, you know, for me, I wasn't particularly looking for fruit. I was just looking for shade. I was just enjoying that the thing has produced a shade and the whole place is green and I like it, even though there's no fruit. Instead of producing fruit, it will be dropping some black wax on your head even when you sat under it." My wife said, "No, we cannot keep it here." So while we were speaking around it, I said, "Just give it a little time now." As if the mango had our discussion, immediately that year, it produced. And as it produced, I said, "Mom, are we still going to call?" He said, "Okay, wait, let's leave it. Let's leave it." The only offense of a plant that has received manure, that has received the rain that fell on it, is not to produce fruit. Fruitlessness is an offense that is punishable with what? Being cut off. Even for the physical tree, you will not pardon it. So he said, "Any branch in me that beareth no fruit," what does he do? He takes it away. He takes it away. And what is the reason why he takes it away? Because it bears no fruit. And every branch that beareth fruit, are you with me in verse 2? What does he do? He purges, he prunes it, that it may do what? So you can see that God has an insatiable desire for fruit. What did I say God has? An insatiable desire. You can never bear fruit enough as far as God is concerned. Because God himself is so rich, and he continues to multiply, he continues to increase, he continues to fill everywhere in everything. So God cannot tolerate anything, any man, any life around him that does not bear fruit. Oh my God, am I communicating with you at all? Fruitfulness is the desire, is the goal, is the pursuit of the gardener. Fruitfulness is the goal, is the glory of God in any life that he has lent his life. So I want us to first understand and agree that the matter of fruitfulness, there is no alternative to it. There is no other thing to replace it with. If there is no fruit, then there is no reason for this plant to continue. Do you remember that Jesus spoke about a vineyard? Will you remember that vineyard in chapter 13 of the book of Luke? Can you quickly look at that? The Bible said, he spoke also this parable to them, Luke 13, verse 6. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and he found how many? None. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. What was the instruction? Cut it down. And what is the reason? Why cumbereth it? The grant. As far as God is concerned, it is unnecessary cumbersomeness to be alive and not to be fruitful. Oh my God, am I saying something that you don't hear me well? It is an unnecessary encumbering of the ground to be alive and not to be fruitful. It is an unnecessary encumbering of the ground to be in the fellowship and not to be fruitful. It is an unnecessary encumbering to live a life, and God is coming to you year in, year out, looking for the fruit of his desire, and he cannot find it. The question they are discussing all the time in heaven, why does he cumber the ground? What is the reason why this man should continue to be here? Why do we need to give him another grace? And what I am sensing is that for so many, many times, this kind of discussions come when they present people's files before God. I don't know whether you know that there are times when your own secret file is presented at the headquarters in heaven, and they are considering your case. Oh, you don't understand what I'm talking about. How many of you have worked in civil service for some years, and you are a member of what we call the AP&C? AP&C is Appointment and Promotion Committee or Council. And when it is time for promotion, we order for the secret files of this individual staff. Many of them are moving up and down. They don't know that we are deciding their destiny. Huh? We will get their secret files and we are sitting on it. And then the chairman of the AP&C, he will say, yes, we are considering promotion for that department. Can we have a secret file? And when they bring your secret file, that's where all the important documents about your performance is. That's where when you receive a query and you did not answer it properly, they noted it. So suddenly they bring this file and we are sitting on it and say, we are considering Mr. Chukwuma Chukwundi of the Department of Maintenance. Bring his file. Head of department, can you please come present this case? So when they have presented the case, we've checked all the files, we check the note, we check everything. When last was he promoted? 4 years ago. Between 4 years and now, what is his productivity level? Below average. What is his response to duty? Is he always prompt? They say he comes late many times. And what of this? What of this? What of this? Overall rating, D. Then the committee looks up and down and say, well, what do we do about this case? They say, put away. And suddenly you see your file put away under the drawer. Meanwhile, we are greeting you. You may even come around and say, oh, Mr. Chooks, how are you? I hope you are doing fine. Ask your family. And before you know it, when the hour of promotion comes, so that you will not come and quarrel anybody, we don't stand up to announce. We only paste the list. You go and check. If your name is not there, it's not there. Say, oh, these people are wicked men. They have wicked men. No. There was something we were looking for that we did not find. In any organization, fruitlessness is an offense. Sometimes, people are almost at the verge of being dismissed. When someone will say, please, he's from my village. He has 10 children. If we terminate him now, his wife and children will be in problem. Please, even if we don't promote him, leave him there. He said, for how long are we going to leave him there? Let's issue for him a warning. So they write you a very important official letter. They issue you a warning. But you know why that looks so physical? I found that even in the spiritual realm, your sacrifices are discussed. Heavens are sitting over your case and they are asking very serious questions. And look at the question they ask over this particular fig tree. Why cumbereth it the ground? I have been coming for these 3 years. I found none. Cut it down. And then the gardener comes around and said to him, Lord, I beg, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after. Thou shalt do what? So, what is the only way out for a tree that is being considered for being cut down? What is the only way out? It's to bear fruit. I beg no day. Even when the man said, please, leave it alone for this year also. Let me do something more. Let me dig around it. Let me dung it. Let me do this. Let me do this. If it bears fruit, well. If it does not, my hand no day. May grace not be withdrawn from your life in the name of Jesus Christ. You have a mandate, and that mandate is fruitfulness. You remember the story in Mark chapter 11. Please go to Mark 11. And in Mark 11, the Bible gave us a story. This again is Jesus. Is it verse 12? Please go. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. Who was hungry? Jesus was hungry. And to me, it was a very critical matter that the master could be hungry. And what was he hungry for? Look at the Bible. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found what? He found nothing but leaves. And maybe the tree may have said, for the time of fix was not yet. Because the next Bible verse says, and Jesus answered. So I was wondering, to what question, to what was Jesus answering? It appears as if the fig tree may be giving an explanation why Jesus will not find something to eat on it that day. Maybe the fig tree was saying, if you don't find anything to eat, it is because it's not time for me to give you anything. And Jesus answered. What was his answer? And said to it. So that's why I said maybe the tree spoke. Maybe the tree was giving an explanation. Just like some of you will give excuses why you are not bearing fruit. Such as many of us can explain why we are just like what we are. The master answered and said to it, no man shall eat fruit of you hereafter forever. And the disciples had it. Again, let me ask you, what was the offense of that fig tree? Fruitlessness. He had leaves. Even though leaves is good, but leaves is not the pursuit of the gardener or the farmer that planted a garden. The desire of God over our lives is fruit, fruitfulness. And so when he begins to talk to us about fruits, abiding fruits, abounding fruits, abundant fruits, I want you to know that God is speaking about something that is very paramount in his heart. For me as an individual, for you as an individual, for us as a group of people, and for the church at large, God's desire is for fruitfulness. Where there is no fruitfulness, God cannot tolerate it. So in verse 20, in the morning, the following day,
as they passed by. What happened to the fig tree? They saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. You say, yes. Have faith in God. And even though that particular incident has a lot of implication, which it is not time for us to be looking at that. But this morning, I just want to lay as a general preamble that fruitfulness is the will of God, is the desire of God, is the love, is what God looks for, and is the reason why God is doing so much that He has been doing with you and with me. Fruitfulness. If I could press that on your heart this morning to say to you that the only offense is not to bear fruit for God. What will not bring glory to God is that you combat the grant, you combat the fellowship, you combat upon the grace of God, you combat upon the Bible studies, you combat in everywhere, but heaven says we couldn't get anything to eat from this man's life. The cry that we are going to make to God this morning, Father, whensoever you are coming to look for fruit on my life, you will find not only ordinary leaves, leaves of activities, you will find fruits, the one that satisfies your taste, in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, and the branch in me that bears fruit, the Father prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. That's to say again, that fruitfulness, more fruitfulness, much, much, much fruitfulness is the desire of God. Even when you start bearing fruit and God finds something on you, His desire is, I need more, I need more, I need more, I want more fruit from you. When He has got more fruit, He comes again and says, I need much more, I need much more. You can do much more than this. You can bring further much, much more fruit. That's the will of God. Can I ask you, even if you have grown, even if the grace of God had manifested in your life, even if we have seen some enlargement, if you went back and you look at the heart of God, you hear God say, yes, yes, but I need much more. There is still more room. You can still produce beyond this. Let me prune you to do much more. The desire of God for every one of us is fruit. Abiding, abounding, and abundant. Praise the Lord. And verse 16 that we read yesterday. No, before you get to 16, can we ask you to read verse 8? John 15, verse 8. Are you there? What did he say? Hearing is my Father, how glorified. That you do what? You bear what? Much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Look at that Bible verse very clearly. Hearing. What's the meaning of hearing in that Bible verse? In this, by this one thing, is my Father glorified. It is in this one thing that my Father is what? Glorified. In what? In that you bear much fruit. Then the second issue. He said, and so shall you be my disciples. Can I again find out from you, what does that statement mean? Does it then mean that as far as Jesus is concerned, fruitfulness is what confirms you as what? As his disciple. He said, and so shall you be my disciples. If this is what defines genuine discipleship, if this is what we make our discipleship to be confirmed with Jesus, if this is what we make God to be glorified, and you will soon see another point before I go away from there, it means that this cannot be, we cannot treat it lightly. We cannot treat it as just something we discuss and then we go away. It is the object and the subject of our relationship with God. Everything God is bringing to you, every revelation that you are having, every insight to the scripture is for one purpose. What is that purpose? That you might bear fruit. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. While Jesus Christ was facing these brothers, these are people that have left everything and they were following him, and he said, this is the only way by which you will be my disciples. Fruitfulness. So the matter of bearing fruit will continue to be an issue of consideration in our growth, in our walk with God. Every time God needs to advance you, what they will be checking is fruitfulness. They will be checking, is he fruitful? Is he bearing the kind of fruit that we are looking for? Praise the Lord. So can I ask a question? Is fruitfulness optional? I'm asking a question. Is it optional? Is it for those who want? Who needs to bear fruit? Anyone who plans to be his disciple, anyone who plans to be on the vine. Lack of fruitfulness threatens even your position in the kingdom of God. Lack of fruit will jeopardize whatever you are claiming. Your claim is not authentic until it is authenticated by the fruit that you bear. I don't know whether I am belaboring the issue. Am I belaboring it? I don't want to, but I need to establish that. I'm still on a very, very important preamble. Jesus Christ was speaking in Matthew chapter 7. And he talked about false prophets who will preach, who will do all of that. Then he gave us something that is the most authentic way of knowing who is who. What did he say? By their fruit. You are not getting me at all. By their fruit you shall know them. So again, Whereas many people imagine that what God uses or what God rates is charismatic preaching, activities, even charismatic gifts. But all of those, there are things that can happen to anybody, anywhere, anyhow. But there was only one thing that is a measure, a true definition of who you are and of what you are and what you carry. And it's only one thing. What is that thing? The fruit. By their fruit, you shall know them. So what am I saying? Someone that does not bear fruit has no identity. Someone that has not produced fruit, we don't know who he is yet. We don't know about him yet. And heaven is also saying, we don't know what he is. Because by their fruit, you will know them. Now go to verse 16. And in verse 16 he said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I've ordained you so that you should go forth. You should go and do what? And do what? And bring forth fruit. Now, listen. And that your fruit should remain, should abide. So that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he will do what? He will give it to you. Now again, I'm noting another point there before I stop the general preamble. That sometimes you complain of unanswered prayers. Sometimes you wonder why you cry, and it looks as if heaven is closed. Why things are not coming to your hand regularly as they ought to. Why you are talking about many other things. Heaven is taking only one matter for them to release further consignment of provision and consignment of grace to your life. What are they checking? He said, I have ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit may remain, so that whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. So the key to unlimited answers to prayer, the key unto being furnished with everything that you may ever ask the Father, is the matter of what? Fruitfulness. Now, if this is clear to you, the next question you will want to ask before we stop for this morning. So, how? What is the secret or the principle, or what is the process by which my life will produce fruit? I don't know whether you want us to ask that question this morning. Do you think we should start asking God, how do I produce the kind of fruit you are talking about? How? How will my life not be barren? How will I not pass through life? And I will arrive at eternity and they said, we allow you to live for 60 years. We allow you to live for 65 years. What is the essence of what you did? Permit me to say something briefly on this before I go to the question that I want to answer. Do you know how the Bible said the ground of a man produced plenty. I don't know if you remember him. Where was that passage? I think it's Luke 12. Abi, where the Bible said the ground of a man yielded so much. And the man was now asking himself, now that I have so much, what will I do? Where will I keep my proceeds? I will break down my barn. I will build another one. I will keep this thing there. And then I will say to my soul, soul, do what? Relax. Eat and drink. Because you have done what? You have kept so much in store. And the Bible said that same night, the owner of the soul came and said, let's have your soul back. And the question they asked him is, of whom will all of this be? Thou, O fool. And Jesus was drawing conclusion and said, so shall it be for any man who is only gathering things in this world and is not rich unto God. Now that raised the second other matter for me. That which means that this fruit that God is looking for goes much more than what you are producing physically and gathering and putting in the bank or building in terms of houses. Because the Bible says we came into this world with how many things? And it is certain. Did the Bible say it is certain? That we will do what? We will take nothing out. So which means the fruit that God is talking about goes beyond that which we can physically put together here. So that someone will not say, well, I am fruitful. I have built 3 houses. In fact, I have got accounts in this bank, in that bank, in that bank, and in that country, and in this country. Hey! And everyone is looking at him and say, oh, fool. Don't you know that you came into this world with nothing? And it is certain. Everything you made in the world for the world, where will it be? It will be in the world. When you are going, the world, we honestly just escort you naked. You don't understand what I'm talking about. A big man that has so much money and all of that, he built a big house, marble. When he dies, you don't understand the discussion that the children are having. Where are we going to bury him? Look at a big house. Look at a big compound. The children are saying, if we bury him here, we devalue this property. You are not understanding at all. That this man's dead body, if we bury him here now, what have we done to the value of this house? Talk to me, please. We have devalued it. Who is going to buy it again? Who is ready to buy graveyard? So, you know, they now sit down and take a technical decision. What is their decision? Take him to burial ground, no man's land. Decorate him there. Put some flowers. And I used to wonder, how long with the flower they put when the man died, how long does it last? 2 days go back there, all the flowers have done what? They have withered. They are simply saying, your own has finished. Even this flower we are putting around you, in 2 days' time, it will all finish. And they will return back home. When they are returning back home, they are coming to eat. Then they will start fighting over who takes this, who takes what. This is the man that labored and labored and labored. He's lying down there, naked. Lying down there, lonely. Lying down there, not knowing what will happen to him. Did I say he doesn't know what will happen to him? He has already known. As soon as he closed his eyes, like, wow! If he didn't do anything for heaven, and they did not regard him as someone who could enter the glory, where is he? He's on the other side crying. Any man that does not bear fruit unto God is again as equal as being a waste. Because the fruit that God is looking for is first of all the fruit of your life. The kind that God is saying, I gave him life, I gave him opportunity, and he has satisfied my heart. He has lived what we want him to live. He has accomplished his purpose, and these are the fruit that he bore by giving him that life. May the Lord help each one of us in the name of Jesus Christ. So now the question, and this question that I want to start answering from this morning, we cannot finish it. I will only introduce the first aspect. Praise the Lord. I want to introduce the first aspect. When I've introduced that first aspect, I will release you to pray so that we don't miss our Bible study. And then when we come back, we will continue to build on it. I'm hoping that God will help us to use the whole of today to lay the principle of abiding, abounding, and abundant fruitfulness. So that when we come back tomorrow, as the Lord will be helping us, we will now be dealing with the practicality of bearing fruit. Fruit that actually abides. And I don't want us to finish Esad without you knowing what to go out and do. Because he said, I have ordained you. That you should do what? You should go. You will leave Esad. You will go. And you will be bringing forth fruit. In the name of Jesus Christ. After Esad, you will multiply. Every one of you. Because that is the reason why he has chosen you. That is the reason why he has allowed you to be here. That is the reason why he has given you this opportunity. You will go and you will bring forth fruit. We will deal with that before we finish. But today, I have the understanding and the liberty to begin to lay the principles by which we can expect fruitfulness. And the first principle that we are dealing with today is the death. Death. What did I say? Death. The principle of death. As the critical principle for fruitfulness. And you will follow me quickly to read John chapter 12. John chapter 12 is only but, you know, a good capture of a principle that runs through is a capture of that principle. It's a botanical principle. It is the principle behind everything that multiplies. But thank God that Jesus expressed it very simply and clearly, so that even if we didn't go round and round and round and round, we can pick it from here and we can go on. John chapter 12. Are you in verse 24? Maybe I should read 23 and 24. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." Are we there? "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if you have your Bible, please, I want you to get there now. Verily, verily, I say unto you." That's how King James introduced it. How did the New King James Bible put it? "Most assuredly, I say to you." Does anybody have English Standard Version or Revised Standard Version? Any other version? Jump up and read it. "I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth." Any other version? "Truly, truly, I say to you, the truth is, Hallelujah. Now I want you to know, there are few times when Jesus speaks and he starts a discussion and say, "Verily, verily, I say to you." There are few times he says that. But whenever you hear Jesus say, "Truly, truly, I say to you," that is to say that what I'm about to tell you is a prerequisite that has no alternative. Did you understand? It's a prerequisite that is indispensable. It is a truth that we cannot put aside. He said, "Verily, verily, I say to you, the truth is, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground, except a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, what happens? It brings forth much fruit." Let's wait there. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it brings forth, or it bears, much fruit. "I assure you most solemnly," this is amplified, "I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just one grain. It never becomes more, but lives by itself alone. But if it dies, it produces many others and yields a rich harvest." What is that principle? The principle of death. God has ordained that the process by which a seed will reproduce itself and multiply itself and become much more, is that that particular grain must do what? Must die. If that grain is kept on the surface like this and protected from dying, what are we doing to that grain? What are we doing to it? We are making sure that it does not become anything better. Can I now begin to draw my questions quickly, because it's a beginning of a series of principles. But I regard this particular principle as the first, the basic principle, without which no other issue of fruitfulness can be discussed. And I want to say, in every grain that you see, there is capacity to fill the whole of this environment with its kind. Hey, did you understand that? Every grain of corn has capacity to fill the whole place with grains like itself. So every time you take a grain, and rather than plant it and let it die, you eat it. What have you done to that grain? You've wasted it. Every grain can actually recrop a whole community, even one grain, if it will subject itself to the principle of what? Of death. But if it refuses to subject itself to dying, the potential in that grain is never realized. And instead of him to multiply, it remains alone. But not only that it remains alone, it will also wither out. Because there are other forces that does not allow something to stand on the surface alone and remain like that. It will still be wasted. Do you know what I began to understand? Every corn, every grain of corn is begging to be planted. Oh my God. Did you hear me? What did I say they are doing? They are begging to be planted. Every tuber of yam, you will notice that whenever you went to pull out a tuber of yam, the tuber of yam is coming out with what? With something on the head. And the tuber of yam is saying, don't finish me. Don't do what? Finish me. I don't intend to end. As you see me like this, I have capacity to become many, many more tubers of yarn that you cannot count, if only you allow me to go back and die. And I'm hearing the tuber of yarn saying, you can cut a little part of me and go and eat, but leave this side, leave this side. And all of you that know what I'm talking about, you know that that side is not even good for you to eat. Am I right? The tuber of yam is saying, this is not for eating. This is for planting. But you know how many hungry people who want to eat their future today. Anybody who refuses the principle of death is eating his future when? Today.
anybody who holds his life back from the principle of dying, hey, you will lose it. But not just that you lose one life. What have you lost? You've lost a whole generation. You've lost what could have broken out of you. Because you are holding to the seed, you are not letting it go. But Jesus said, whosoever shall give his life out, he shall find it eternally. It will never finish. It will keep multiplying everywhere. It may just be one man, but when that man has agreed to subject himself to the principle of dying, we can never even tell how many fruit will come out of it. Every grain that has not allowed death to occur, I said, it has wasted its capacity and its potential to have recrop a whole community. And every grain that did not go through that very, very compulsory process of dying dies out alone and is cut off and is never known again. Did you imagine that I'm only talking about grain of guinea corn? No. I wanted to say that the life that we become productive, the life that we multiply, the life that will bring in much fruit is a life that is agreeing with God to experience death. I said this is a very critical principle, and this principle, unless God will help us to, you know, peel upon it again and again, we might not be able to fully comprehend what God offers you today. Whenever God wants an expansion in your life, he said, give me that life. And let me do what? Let me bury it in death. Unless the corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, what does it do? It brings forth much fruit. Jesus gave so much of this in different forms. He said the kingdom of God is like a seed, a mustard seed. Do you remember? Which is the least among all seeds. But when it is planted, and when it has died, and when it has grown, it becomes a mighty tree shooting forth large branches. And many birds of the air from all over the world, what do? They come to nest on the branches of it. So let me say to you, fruitfulness, multiplication, does not first depend on your size. You are not with me again here. Are you with me? It is not size. It is not size of the seed that matters. It is whether that seed will agree to die
in order to germinate, in order to bring forth fresh life. So I would like to now go ahead. Every fruitfulness, please hear me, I want you to hear this, because there are important issues that we must catch if by the grace of God you will respond to the word of God this morning. Every fruitfulness is a result of resurrection of that which died. Fruitfulness is only but what? The result of the resurrection of that which died. So fruit only comes out of resurrection. It is a resurrection life that produces fruit. That which has never died remains alone. So even now that Jesus is saying, I have ordained you that you go and bring forth fruit. Do you know what he was saying? In essence, I have ordained you to experience death and experience resurrection that will produce much fruit for the kingdom of God. So I'm going to stop on this to now begin to ask few questions. The few questions. Who among us here sincerely are saying, Lord, make me fruitful. Make me fruitful. I want to see you. Are you saying sincerely, Lord, I was born, don't let me die like this? Is that what you are saying? Do you know that when you say it, what you have not said, which I want you to now know that you have said, is, Lord, bring me to death. So let me now put the question the way I want to put it now. Who among you in this meeting this morning, beautiful as you are, because sometimes you see a tube of yam, very beautiful, and rather than plant it, you are willing to put it on the shelf because it's very beautiful. When you keep that yam on the shelf because it's beautiful and you take the photograph of it, what have you done to that yam? I'm not hearing you. You have wasted it. You have limited it. You have destroyed its potential. You have terminated its destiny. You have made it a non-entity. How many are saying, oh God, even though what I think I am looks beautiful, it could be, they could carry photograph of it everywhere, but I want to multiply. So, oh God, I am submitting this life to death. Who is going to pray that prayer this afternoon or this morning to say, God, don't raise your hand until you understand what I'm saying, because when I pray for you this morning, it will happen. Oh, you know, a sister came to Boko some years ago, and in the meeting we were talking, And I said, God wants to expand your life. Everybody said, yes. I said, but for God to expand your life, He will block your channels. All the alternatives, all the plan B you have, the Lord is going to scatter it so that He can be the one to meet all your needs according to His riches and glory. Do you want it? Say, yes. Said, this sister said she prayed. I said, God, block all my channels so that you can be the one who will meet all my needs. She thought it was a joke. She went back. All the places where she used to look up and down, running here to that uncle, everything closed. She started crying, Lord, I did not mean it like that. Oh, I did not mean it like that. Oh, Lord, no. She started begging around. So whenever they say there's a meeting in Boko, he said, no, I'm not going to Boko. I'm not ready to go there. And it took several years while she was running from this. She again, I don't know, I won't say by mistake this time, maybe by God, divine arrangement, where they went in the country where they thought they are going to make it, there was a meeting and Bragbile was to preach, and they found themselves there. And as she sat in front, the Holy Spirit said, that thing you ran away from in Boko, I have brought it now to this country where you are sitting. How will you escape now? She cried. She ran out. By the time she was landing in her house, her husband came and said, look, God has caught me. God has caught me. I must go back. Ah, the woman said, oh God. But today, they have entered into that process of divine increase. And only heaven can tell what those lives will become in the coming days. So I'm asking you now, did you intend to say to God this morning, since there is no other way for a man to be fruitful, to multiply, and not to be alone, except death must occur, the death of all that I thought was useful, I surrender it. Can I now wait to see whether such people are in this class this morning who are saying, God, now I'm hearing you, and I know you did not plan to kill. Your plan for me to multiply. But death is the way into that. I don't mind, Lord, to surrender this life to you. Bring it to death. Where are they now? Are they still in this class? Can I see their hand up now? Don't mind it. It doesn't matter, even if they became fewer. It's always like that. So let me see the hand wave properly now. Those that are saying, Lord, even though what I carry appear beautiful, but so that I will not stagnate at this point, I don't mind. Take me through the process of death. Let me see the hand again. May the Lord answer your prayer. Yeah. What is it that must die so that the real thing that God wants it to be may break forth? If those who are used to planting things, if they were here, they will have told you that there are several things that a grain of corn carries that is not useful for its increase, for its multiplication. So sometimes when I look at farmers, I used to think that if they carry the big tuber of yam and bury it like that, that it will make the thing to grow faster. But correct farmers, do you know what they do? They slash that thing. As if they are saying, look, this big size is cumbersome. We will reduce it first. The first thing that I sense must die. The natural, the old nature. Mr. Flesh, unless it's brought to the place of death, it blocks your fruitfulness. But that will look like the negative thing in your life that God must allow to die, without which we cannot even reach the other thing that must go. So the first point of death is a self-life. That thing that is always contrary to the purpose of God in your life is the thing that will not allow you to bear fruit for God. When you want to do something that is correct, you find another thing in you doing something that is wrong. Am I right? Sometimes you desire to do something right, but you just don't know what moves you to do what is wrong. It's not that you did not know that adultery and fornication is not correct. You know it. It has given you problem. It does not allow your marriage. You are not settled. But you couldn't stop. Because the thing inside, unless it dies, this is how it will trouble you until you finish. And God is saying, for you to fulfill the reason why you were born, that one must die. We cannot decorate it, we cannot paint it, we cannot improve it. The only answer to it is that it must do what? It must die. Every activity that Mr. Flesh produces is a hindrance unto fruitfulness. Every man that is living in the flesh cannot produce fruit for God. So they that are in the flesh, they cannot do what? Please God. So when Jesus saw Nicodemus, here is a man that was fasting. Nicodemus fasted twice a week for years. Every week he was fasting. Every day he was praying 3 hours. 3 different designated hours of prayer. Nicodemus was studying the Bible from Genesis. He knew everything on his fingertips. When he came to see Jesus, Jesus looked at him and said, hey, verily, verily, I say to you, just like this passage, unless a man be born again, he cannot. You know, when I started reading, what does he mean? What did Jesus mean by that? You know what I understood Jesus was saying? The one that was born that has grown like this, is not good. We have to start you, how? From the scratch. The one that was born of your mother is your problem. You may be educated, you may be this, you may be this, you may be that, but it's not that. It's not about that. It's about who you are inside that is wrong and it needed to be removed. You have to be born again. Nicodemus says, sir, what do you mean? As old as I am, will I enter my mother's womb? Jesus did not say, you will not. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and it cannot please God. Actually, what Jesus said to Nicodemus is that the one you are now has to die, and we need another one, a different species of life that will come out when death has occurred. That's the first thing. My brother, my sister, my friend, may I not beg this question with you? I cannot tell you about improving about who you are. There's no improvement for Mr. Flesh. Are you hearing me? If I ask you to improve after 20 years, you will still be the same old. Because the flesh cannot improve. It is not your fault. Hey, am I saying something now? It's not your fault. You can't change yourself. The Bible asks, can a leopard change his skin? Talk to me. What can a leopard do to remove the spots from his skin? What can he do? You know, I have been watching. You see, if you have a cat that has black, white, black, white, black, white, black, white, and the male cat also have black, white, black, white, black, white, what will happen to their children? They must come with that color. There's nothing you can do. Do you know why I am black? I'm dark skinned. Do you know why? The one that born me was darker than this. There is nothing you can do about that. It's not your fault, oh. The one you were born to be is wrong and he needed to die. You need a brand new life. Unless a brand new life comes to you, you cannot produce fruit for God. You will produce fruit for Mr. Flesh. Fruit unto death. You will try. You will work hard. You will go everywhere, but you will not make it. It's not your fault, oh. It's your gene. It's genetic. Am I communicating? So that genetic issue that is always contrary to the will of God, before we can produce fruit for God, it has to die. And I'm asking, people greet you, they say you are nice, you are nice, you are nice. It's because they don't know. They don't know that there's nothing nice inside you. The heart of man, the Bible says, is what? Is desperately wicked. Is rotting through and through. Who can know it? Imagine that you are smiling like this, but what is in your heart? May God help nobody to see what is inside you. Sometimes, what is inside a man concerning his children, if the children got to know. Do you know there are some men, when they wanted to make money, when they wanted to make money, and they enter into this money court, and they said, now for the money you need, we will give you, but you must donate your first son. And what will happen is that you will be making money. The more you make money, the more don't do, the more confused your first son will be. Do you agree? And the man said, well, since he will not be the only son I will have, even if that one goes like that, no problem. Let's just have it. And so we are seeing people that have made money. And the more their money is increasing, the more their first son is dilapidating. They are the one who did it all. They may be buying clothes for that son, but they know the boy is going nowhere. The heart of man, wicked. Who can know it? The kind of thing that comes out in the heart of a man that has not experienced death. Hey! So the first issue, the first death, that leads to fruitfulness is the death of that which makes fruitfulness impossible. The flesh. Am I communicating with somebody? When it is time to pray, don't say, "Oh God, improve me, improve me, improve me." You can't improve that man. Can't improve the nature of the flesh. It has to die. But if that is the only thing that should die, in order for fruitfulness to multiply, it will have been, that's the only issue I will have dealt with this morning. But I want to go forward to tell you that something again has to die. I'm dealing with those who sincerely want to be fruitful. And the picture I can give to make it quick, very quick, because it will have been a big discussion, and I don't want us to go too far so that we don't consume our Bible study time. We can pray. And I want to do that quickly. The only illustration I should give, maybe if I do that and we can stop here, it's okay. We'll come back in the night on them. What was that? You remember that Abraham, do you remember Abraham? Eh? Abraham, because of his desire to have a child, even though God promised to give him a child, the thing delayed. There was a point at which Brother Abraham went and slept with his house girl. Do you remember? And what did they produce? They produced Ishmael. Do you remember that for 13 years, the birth of Ishmael cut off Abraham from communion with God? For 13 years, he became a polygamist. That beautiful home where they used to pray every day, are you hearing me? Altar was absent in his family and in his life for how many years? 13 solid years. Ishmael was the flesh. And as soon as Ishmael was born, something cut off in the heart of Brother Abraham from God. His prayer life was cut off. Everything about him and God finished. At age 86, once Ishmael was born, the next time we are hearing God coming to talk to him is when he was 99. And if you look at what God said, "I am the God Almighty. Walk thou before me and be perfect." Where was he walking before? Eh? God had to reintroduce himself to a man that left father, mother, land to follow God. What has happened? Flesh disconnected him. There's nobody flesh cannot cut off. Oh. Are you hearing me? Mr. Fletcher, you don't cut off now, we cut you out. Oh. But a time came, God came to him and said, "Cut out the bondwoman and her son. I don't need it." And he did. That which is natural had to go. Praise the Lord. But now, after some years, God came. Say, "Abraham, thy son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love." So let me ask you, who gave him Isaac? Talk to me, please. How did Isaac come? Is it not by faith? Is it not by promise? Is it not by divine visitation? Is Isaac actually not the promise of God for him? Oh, you are not talking to me again, oh. Isaac was the fulfillment of God's promise. It was an answer to prayer. It was God that even named him. He
It was a child that was born when he was already dead. It was a miracle. This is a clear miracle from God. This was God who gave him. But now God said, Abraham, something also has to die. Not your Ishmael. Ishmael has already gone. And there are some of you here, when I already introduced the matter of death, some say, well, thank God, my old man is dead. My old man is dead. That's okay. That's okay. That's okay. I'm not asking for your old man this afternoon. We're asking for your Isaac. We're asking for who? Your Isaac. The one that is not contaminated. The one that looks very spiritual. The one that is good. The one that is correct. The one that is the promise. But it's a seed that unless it is planted, unless it experiences death, it abides alone. It will stop you from where you are now. It will not let you go beyond here. Your increase will be limited to the little thing that you have seen. So the principle, even of carrying correct seed, good seed, beautiful seed, that which actually is God that gave you, to go and lay it down and say, Father, I want to plant it again. Maybe that is what has stopped many believers from being fruitful. They are clinging. They say, it's God who gave me this. God couldn't ask me to submit this one again to death. This one, this is my own. And they are holding it. It may be a ministry that you thought God actually gave you. And it is something. And you are saying, that's my something. And every time God is knocking and say, can you let it go? Can he allow you to die? Can he die so that I can multiply? That time you say, Lord, I will pray about it. And I see the Spirit say, go and pray about it. If you take 10 years to pray about it, I'm waiting for you. If you want to move from here, if you want to multiply, even this Isaac must be laid. So that I do not take you beyond where you want to go this afternoon, I will stop now. But I dare ask you whether you are interested in multiplying your life. Are you? Are you interested? Are you looking for a growth that will be unprecedented in all your past experiences? Now you are going to be asking God this afternoon, I want to submit to death. Not only the death of my Ishmael, not only the death of the flesh, even though one has to happen first. Those who are carrying Ishmael, there is no Isaac for you to offer yet. What must you bring to the altar this morning? That Ishmael has to go. Because until Ishmael even goes, we are not able to talk about any Isaac for you. But some of you, some time back, God brought you to a point where that Mr. Flesh died. And you could say, I knew when the old man died, I am free. I thank God. Do I need any other death? Oh, this one is even more serious. Because it's now a release of that which you love. Some of us gave up our old man because we hated it. Because it has troubled us. We say, I don't want again. I don't want again. But this one is the one you love. Is the one that you want to cherish.
is the one you really prefer to keep. It's the thing, like I said, where is the one that God even invites an answer prayer? And the Holy Spirit, can I have it? Can I have it? Will God have His way this morning among us? Eh? I'm asking a question. Can God have His way this morning? I think I should stop on this and ask you to join me in prayer. Let's go to God in prayer. When I saw the wall on which the Prince of Glory died, forbid it, Lord. For there are things that charm me more.
Thank you.
Just keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. If the Spirit of God is dealing with you and drawing you to the altar, just come to that altar. There are two things we are talking about this morning. That which is of the flesh, that which is Ishmael, that which is natural, that which has blocked you from bearing fruit unto God, that which has hijacked what God will have made you, that which has made you restless, falling into sin, running up and down from one problem to another, God said it has to go. And there's a provision at the cross this morning. When you lay down, say, Lord, I don't want this kind of life again. I don't want this kind of life again. Lord, take it away.
I don't need it anymore.
The cross, where our old nature is finished, that we may bear fruit unto God.
I don't need ministry anymore.
The death that will finish the old nature. That's the first matter.
That night we have come to meet again. Oh Lord, have mercy on me.
This morning something must happen.
Have mercy on me, oh Lord.
The man of Calvary went so that that life can be terminated. Will you bring it and say, Lord, I don't want that life again. I want a different life.
Oh Lord, my God. Oh my King of glory, please show me mercy. Even my life, even my dislike, I hand it over to you, Father. Please bury it from you, Lord. That there may be a resurrection of you, Lord. That my life may stand, O Lord, for you are precious,
Lord. Have your way.
Know that we, O Lord, will do again.
In Jesus' name, we are prayed. Listen, there are two things I'm raising this morning, and I've seen several people coming to the altar. I know why you are coming. You know also what you are bringing. Why we were in the flesh. The motion of the flesh was at work in our members. All the fruit we are producing was for the flesh. They are for death and destruction. And they blocked you from bearing fruit unto God. That has to go this afternoon, if you are serious. The flesh cannot allow you to bear fruit for God. Every effort you are making, it will scatter it. And that's the first thing that Jesus is saying must go. If you will lay it at his feet and say, Lord, I'm not defending it. I'm not decorating it. I don't need a painting. I need a deliverance. But there are yet some others. You knew that your Ishmael had been cut off. But there is this Isaac. That the Holy Spirit is saying that also had to be laid on the altar. I don't know how God is going to handle this, but we are going to pray. We'll take that song again. I want you to please sing that song again.
When I saw him, the world,
maybe you surveyed that cross this morning. Maybe you start looking at this, so what is it? What
What is it that I will not be able to let go this morning? What is it? What is your richest thing? That will not let you break forth unto fruitfulness. What is that pride? What is that pride?
For me, it is Lord, that I should get
category. But some are standing there and say, Lord, even though you finish my old nature, there's Isaac that I thought I must cling to. Even this morning, even if the whole realm of nature were mine, it will have been nothing to lay at your feet. This Isaac will be alone if I don't plant it. But if I release it, it will multiply. When Jesus agreed to release his life, it was a good life. It was a holy life. It was a life that has done well. It has done miracles. But Jesus knew, unless he falls to the ground and dies, there's no way for multiplication. Who is here this morning and saying, God, even that which looks good, that which looks like he already performed miracle, so that your purpose may not be stagnated, Bringing down that old man, that old nature. It has been the root of all the mistakes in your life. You are not bringing it for improvement. You are saying, Lord, terminate it. Evacuate it from my life. Jesus, you went to Calvary in order to finish it. Let mine finish in you today. Those that are laying that down, you know it, you know it. It does not allow you to produce anything for God. You can't say you have a consistent life for 2 years. Everything scatters. That old nature, as you lay it down here, I'm holding God's hand on your behalf. Let's pray. Take it, O Lord. That's what you are saying. Take it from me. Take this old life. Let me experience the death. Finish it now. It's not something I want to defend anymore. I'm not defending myself anymore. I'm not looking for what I can give as an excuse. Let it go today. No matter how many years you have lived, God can finish it today. God can end that tyranny and give you a new beginning so that you can be free to bear fruit unto God. Thank you, Father. You may have been so religious, you've gone to church, but you don't know why that old life continues to strangulate you. Just lay it down now. Don't struggle with it. Just lay it and say, Lord Jesus, I am tired of this old life. I can't carry it from here. Exchange it for me. I need an exchange of life in this meeting. I need an exchange. It's an exchange I must go with. Holy Spirit, please do it. Please do it. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. If you put your hand on your heart, I'm praying for you first. Father, because you are God who answers prayer, and because fruitfulness is the only thing that glorifies you, and anyone that does not bear fruit meet for repentance, you said the axe is already laid on the axe, on the root of that tree. This afternoon or this morning, as many as are bringing that life and say, let it die. Take over from us, Lord. It's a miracle we're asking for you to do, of exchange. We tried to improve this for years. We fasted with it. It didn't work. We went from one thing to the other. We are saying, unless it dies, there's no way. This afternoon, Father, the death that will terminate this life, you are the one who provided it. We have come to you. Take it over, Lord. Abraham did not know how to handle this Ishmael until you came. But once you came, it was cut. Lord, cut it now. In the name of Jesus. As many as have come in penitence with brokenness of heart and say, this I can't go home with it. Holy Spirit, show forth your glory in their lives now. Let them see the man of Calvary afresh. Let this matter come to an end in the name of Jesus. Say, a new heart will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. I will take away from you the heart of stone. Take it away in the name of Jesus Christ. Take it away from here in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm trusting that the release unto fruitfulness, unto bearing the correct fruit, will begin from now. In the name of Jesus. Whatever this thing has brought, all the complications, as we sort it out before you, all we know is that your act has come. It will be cut out in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, there are the other people. It is not Ishmael. It was an Isaac. We have not yet known where you are going to collect it. But we are bringing it out of our heart first. You said to Abraham, to a mountain that I will show you. We are praying, oh God, that as many as are saying, yes, even this Isaac, I'm ready to release it. We are trusting you today. That there will be light. Where do we drop it? In the name of Jesus. But for this hour, keep doing what you are doing in our hearts. Open the channel unto abiding, abundant, and abounding fruitfulness to our lives in the name of Jesus. As we go on, we are praying that the Spirit of God will be poured forth to perfect things and to bring us to where you are going. Thank you. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed.